President Donald Trump met with corporate leaders today, including Elon Musk of SpaceX and Marilyn Hewson of Lockheed Martin. He said he'd impose a substantial border tax on products made by companies that move their manufacturing operations abroad and want to send products back to the U.S. And he promised tax advantages for the firms that do make their products here in the U.S. And to make it easier for them to do so, he promised a cutback in government regulations.
We think we can cut regulations by 75%, maybe more. But by 75%, have, in a certain way, better protections. But when you want to expand your plant, or when Mark wants to come in and build a big, massive plant, or when Dell wants to come in and do something monstrous and special, you're going to have your approvals really fast.
There's also the president's battle with the media about inauguration attendance and his executive order on day one on the Affordable Care Act. And now it is just day four. Joining us, NPR Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Robin.
75% cutback in regulations. Do we know anything more specific?
You know, we don't. We don't really know where he's coming up with that number. We'd have to suspect he is talking largely about environmental regulations because he did make specific reference to big new manufacturing plants. Now, you heard him talk about Mark Fields, CEO of Ford. And then one of the people who came out and spoke briefly to reporters outside the White House was the head of Dow Chemical. Mm-hmm. That's a business with a lot of environmental impact issues. As for the exact 75%, you know, that might be a precise calculation by skilled and knowledgeable staffers in the back room, or it might be a totally notional number thrown out for effect, sort of a Trumpian number based on imagination.
Okay, well, we'll follow that. But now Obamacare, as even President Obama claimed it was, Trump's executive order seems to give agencies the right to stop penalizing citizens who don't have health care. What are you reading into that executive order?
It is aimed at some of the most unpopular elements of Obamacare, such as the individual mandate and the enforcement mechanisms like the IRS power to tax you if you don't buy insurance. Some people we've seen, even now, would rather pay the fine, as it were, rather than buy coverage. And this would appear to let those folks off the hook. The problem, of course, is that without the individual mandate and the enforcement mechanism, the numbers don't work out for insurance companies to hold up their end of the bargain. And the word from Capitol Hill is that the replacement for Obamacare is not ready yet. Ready, not yet. Ready, not yet.
Let's listen to a little bit of Kellyanne Conway, a counselor to the president. She was speaking about many things over the weekend, but she did talk about the executive order on health care and also touched on Saturday's Women's March on Washington across the country, around the world, numbers that far exceeded anyone's thoughts about that. Here she's talking with ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
He's going to replace this with a plan that allows you to buy insurance across state lines that is much more centered around the patient and access to health care. And I wish I had heard more of that from the women yesterday here in Washington. Why aren't they talking about the millions of women who live in poverty, who don't have health care after 8 years of
President Obama? What did the president think of that march?
I discussed it with him briefly. We certainly respect people's First Amendment rights, but I frankly didn't see the point. I mean,
Ron Elving, take up. There's a couple things there. Many of the marchers were talking about women's health care. But your sense overall of what has turned into a battle over the weekend of perception and reality and facts.
Yes. And we were talking a moment ago about numbers based on imagination. The president threw out a million and a half. Those are two very different numbers in estimating the crowd. And from where he was standing, I'm sure it did appear to be a vast and perhaps even innumerable assembly. That was his crowd on Friday. Of a lot of other people taking pictures, looking at the pictures, comparing them to previous inaugurations, have told a very, very different story, estimating his crowd at well under half of what the crowd was, say, in 2009. Now, when it turns to this demonstration on Saturday, I can understand why Kellyanne Conway would not really want to dwell on that too long because it was being perceived largely as a protest against Donald Trump. And he had two tweets on Saturday. The first one, he said that, hey, I thought we just had an election. Didn't these people vote? And he also said that the celebrity speakers were hurting their own cause. Later on, he sent out a more magnanimous tweet in which he said everyone has a right to free speech.
Well, I guess just, you know, in the few seconds we have, others have said, why bring it up at all? You know, why bring up a debate over the numbers at your inauguration? Because it only focuses attention on it.
Yes, but it appears that he was stung by it, and he sent out his press secretary and communications director, Sean Spicer, on Saturday afternoon, accusing the media of deliberately distorting this issue in these numbers. And he was, of course, immediately snowed under with evidence to the contrary, and we haven't heard from him since.
Yeah. Senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving, there are many stings in a president's life. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Robin.